We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Big Bad Morning Show with Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn.
Sponsored by IG Burton Buick. Experience the new Buick at IG Burton Buick.
105.7 The Fan.
Ow! Oh! Woo! Shut up! I'm back.
6:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Put your feet on the floor, jumpstart your day with your boys. What's up, gentlemen?
What's up?
Not much. Friday.
Saturday Eve, babe.
Friday.
What day is it, Jeremy?
Saturday Eve, babe.
You're looking good.
You know what's funny? You brought up Cameron Diaz yesterday, and I pulled up at the same time as Ed today, and Good Charlotte just happened to blast on the radio, and that's when I realized that Cameron Diaz is married to one of the Madden brothers from Good Charlotte. It's either Benji or John. One of those two.
That's when you realize?
Benji.
It's not John Madden?
It's Waldorf's finest right there.
What's the other Madden brother? It's not John.
Joel.
Joel. I was way off. I was like, boom, where'd that truck come from? But yeah, I was listening to that, and then it just made me think that...
Why were you
hit by
that?
A truck? That's not funny.
No, you hit a truck, right?
No, I crashed a motorcycle to get away from a truck.
What were you saying, Rob?
Were you listening to that for?
Oh, I have my wife's car today, so I have...
So you can blame it on the wife?
No, it's serious radio, so I just keep shuffling around to whatever I want to listen to when something catches my ire.
So you have the vinegar car?
My son has the vinegar car. By the way, I had to get my badge out of there. Oh, the heat has made that worse.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I'm cleaning that thing out this
weekend.
Sure.
That must be fantastic.
Oh. I told my son, I said, you might want to hold your nose or leave the window down for a bit. You get used to it after a while. You don't get used to it after a while. It's Rob, you know how it's strong.
It's strong.
Man.
Yeah.
Like a Caesar salad on wheels.
How'd you spend your... Thursday, Edward.
Oh, like every Thursday, this is where I'm going to put one beach ball up on a tee for Jeremy. I have my Italian language classes on Thursdays.
Hey,
there we go.
Hey, who are you talking to? Over here, Maria!
Why don't you just come over to my house? I'll help you.
Yes, so that's what I did last night.
Did you happen to say any of those words in Italian?
Those words?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
How does it work? Are you learning certain words or certain phrases?
It's immersion. It's just everything. He did classes in Italian.
Yeah.
You got to kind of get...
Baba da booba, che cosa? That's great ass. You got a great ass, and you got your head right up.
I still love the Bronx Tale when he's like, you can hear Italian.
How do we get to the Bronx Tale? You haven't finished Al Pacino.
Because in the beginning,
you haven't finished any given Sunday yet.
No, that was Heat.
Oh yeah, it was Heat. You're right. It was Heat.
Because the guy was sleeping with Val Kilmer's wife, Ashley Judd, in the movie. And that, you know, the guy was. It was the guy that does all the voices on The Simpsons.
Oh really?
And all the he was Brockmire. Can't think of his name.
Hank Azaria.
Yeah. So he's the one.
He's like Met fan number one.
Yeah.
Really?
That guy does so many different voices too, man. I bet you he's made.
He's on. If you ever look at those, animated shows, he's like
so good. Them all. But anyway,
no, you're on a roll.
The Bronx Tale thing I was talking about at the beginning. He was like, you can hear, you know, husband shouting out to their whatever Italian lovers from upstairs. Maria, open the door. You know, that's why I love that.
I wish I could I could play a movie of my childhood because that's what it was like growing up in Brooklyn. I know it's probably the same thing. It's like it was the same thing: crazy screaming neighbors, fist fights in the street.
You gotta admit though, in the Bronx Tale, when he locks the door,
that's one of my favorite movie scenes of all time.
I get chills. Yeah. Now yous can't leave. Yes.
It's the ultimate.
That was the best one.
Bully redemption. Yeah. You know. Oh,
you see Paulie coming out of the back. Was he at the Italian class, Paulie? Was Joey there?
Hey, you talked about fights, having fights. You had a lot of fights when you were growing up.
Yeah, I'm talking about the adults, which is ridiculous.
Oh,
yeah,
kids.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, at a very young age. That's when my mother pulled the lady out the window.
Now, when you became, when you went to college, did you notice that a lot of friends, like maybe who weren't from the city, never had fights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you. Yeah. I mean, it was so different for me. To make a very long story short, I worked as a security guard off season. I catch a kid breaking into a car. I get him on the ground, and he reaches, I think, to his waistband. I hit him, and I was boxing because I was punching every day. I break his orbital bone. I just lay him out on the grass. They take me to trial to kick me out of college. They're that student faculty, like Supreme Court is in front of. So I'm telling this. I tell him the story. Same thing. I just catch him breaking into a car, and I thought he was going for a weapon. So I hit him, and they're like, why would you think he was going for a weapon? I said, because where I come from, everybody carries a weapon. And they're like, where are you from? I said, Brooklyn, New York. They're like, oh. It was clearly they have never experienced anything like this. And, you know, I did. And
but we all
my point is this though. I know it's a lot of people that I know now as adults, I think their behavior is the way it is because they've never been in one. You don't know what real consequences are. It's nothing like tasting your own blood, you know. So, and a lot of the reckless behavior I think you see from some adults is because they never had an ass whipping.
Yeah,
or never had to protect themselves from getting an ass whipping.
When that fight or flight has to come in one way or another, you know. And we say it all the time. You act like you've never had your ass whipped before.
I don't think they're acting. A lot of times I look at people and think, yeah, you've never been in one. You haven't, because if you have, or you grew up in that type of area where you knew, talking about people who weren't around, that's an ass whipping.
It goes back
when it gets back to them.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't around when you were talking about
me. Or the other is thinking you can say whatever you want to somebody and there's no consequences.
Because there have never been consequences for them.
It goes back to one of my favorite stories that Ed tells about Sugar Ray Robinson.
Oh, yeah. I love that story.
I love that.
The traffic story.
I guess a road rage story. Truck driver and Sugar Ray get into it. The truck driver gets out, you know, aggressively goes up to the window and starts screaming at him. And all of a sudden he goes, do I know you? Sugar Ray says, you don't act like you do.
It's so good.
I just think a lot of reckless behavior by adults now is due to the fact that they never face real consequences by their peers.
Is Trevor Lawrence an ugly woman or a handsome man? I can't figure it out.
He looks like the one in
Sunshine.
I remember the Titans. Yeah,
Sunshine. That is an interesting looking.
He looks like he sat behind Spicoli.
Doesn't he?
Hey, Mr. Hand.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in with us on this Friday morning.
Have the Orioles scored yet?
Commissions Baltimore at 6:45. But on the other side, the answer to Jeremy's question is no, they got swept. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
The Big Bang. Update from the yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
You'll want. On the ground, this should do it. Pointer gobbles it up over to first. Ball game. Cubs win. And the Cubs sweep the series here in Baltimore.
Just not very good at bats. Give him credit. Threw the ball really, really well. But we just didn't do a whole lot of anything in this series. And we didn't play well at all in any aspect. So we gotta play a lot better going forward.
No, you didn't play very well. And yes, with the Red Sox playing the way they are, you got to play better moving forward as well, because you got two teams on your trail right now. And Jeremy, he said not very good at bats. I'll give you one at bat in particular that to me kind of is the microcosm of where this team is right now.
Okay.
Hayes. Austin Hayes had an at bat maybe towards the late end of the game, and he swung at a pitch that he ultimately, I believe, popped up to the first baseman. The ball traveled in on his hands. And I'm thinking to myself, if you have two strikes on you, I understand you swinging at that ball. But why are you swinging at that when you don't have two strikes on you? They do that too often. I'm all for ambushing a pitcher who's pounded the zone, but that wasn't the case last night. That was a bad pitch. That was a pitcher's pitch. You don't get out on pitcher's pitches with less than two strikes. That to me is a microcosm of what this team has been doing for the past maybe week and a half, 2 weeks.
Can I tell you what's a little nerve-wracking with this too? And I mean, I'll throw this at Ed, but like, you know, with Austin Hayes, Cedric Mullins, there's a lot of talk about the Orioles moving one of their everyday players that they have now or situational players in a possible trade. Like if you're going out and getting someone, it's like, oh, well, here's this guy that you can re-sign or whatever you have for this long. So these names are popping up. I don't want to say guys are pressing, but you know how it goes. You did face three really good pitchers. I mean, I should say two really good pitchers, and Jameson Taillon's got a horseshoe up his ass. So you had that going. But I do wonder about them pressing more and more as we get closer to this and getting in the All-Star.
I think they are pressing. I think that Hyde said that 2 days ago. He didn't say pressing, but he was talking about, you know, not taking good swings and trying too hard. And I think that, you know, they were trying to hit, you know, five-run home runs and then take the game back instead of just making contact, going the opposite way, just you're trying to put the ball in play. You have guys on second and third with one out, not last night's game, and the next two people strike out. You can't even get the ball in play. This is what's happening. I just think they're really pressing really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they really have to make a about face on this one, man, because it's just not right now. It's looking bad.
Yeah,
it is.
And I was saying the Yankees coming in, you're going to see arguably their three best pitchers. So you know it's the way things stack up. And look, I give Suarez credit. I'm watching him early on and thinking that he's getting out of you know, whether he gets into hitters counts or finds himself down. You know, he's 3-0 on a like. I'm not calling him a magician or anything, but he does get out there, and all of a sudden you're like, man, how did he pitch five? Did he pitch six? Like, how did he get through that? And when you're relying on one of these guys that's a little bit wild, you just don't know what you're going to get from him. I mean, he's routinely been solid, but he's all over the place. Like, in a game where your bats aren't hitting, I don't know that he's going to put up that zero. You're going to need somebody to step up and make something happen.
Well, his ERA is still under three.
Yeah. Feels like he's been very, very lucky. The numbers say he's been very lucky, but he's getting it done.
Yeah, feels like he's been very, very lucky. Maybe because we know what his history is. There's not a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, he doesn't have a track record that you can trust.
Right, and I think that's the best way to put it.
But what about, now Cole Irvin's in the bullpen. He still got bounced around last night.
Hey, look, they've got some decisions to make, and it's weird coming up at the trade deadline. There's so many people. Talked to somebody nationally yesterday that was like, yeah, they've got to move one or two of those pieces. And I'm like, two? I don't think there's anybody out there that's worth two of these pieces. I'm sorry. Depending on who becomes available. But that's what we got to find out. I mean, this is literally going to come down, I think, to the last hour on that trade deadline.
Jeremy, I don't know if it's a matter of worth it right now. I think the Orioles may put them, the GM and the front office, in a position of desperation.
Fair enough.
To be honest with you, they may overextend, because when you got it like this team has, I mean, look at the league. It's very winnable. They may have put themselves in a position where front office is desperate.
And now they're 8-11 over their last 19.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I think to Rob's point, you're right. Like, you may force their hand to do something they don't think. Like, what if the bats, what if we go through one of these stretches like the Yankees had? And where they're just, you know, hey, you went 5-17, and knock on wood, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But it does happen, and the Yankees kind of are still in the playoff race.
Yeah, you are. I mean, that's the problem. They were kind of there. And it's just the Yankees, because the Yankees got more national negative publicity about the slide because they're both doing it right now. It's sad because this was a great time for the Orioles to make up a lot of ground. But this is where we are.
Yeah, they could have really extended this thing right now. Fortunately, the Yankees lose again, but Boston Red Sox are now 5.5 back because they win again. They're 8-2 over the last 10. So you put this thing down into a three-team race when it didn't have to be. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fans. We look ahead to this Yankee series, and I tried everything I could not to look ahead to the Yankee series. And I'm wondering whether the Orioles looked ahead to the Yankee series.
People
to be quite
talking
honest,
about that. Yeah. I'd like to think no, because it seemed like they're grounded enough to take the games as they come because they know they're all important and they can't have. And then, even if they were, okay, you lose the first one. It's like, hey.
Wake up.
Yeah, wake up. You know, not score any runs like this is just unbelievable.
Gerrit Cole tonight against Cade Povich on Saturday. That's going to be a 4 o'clock game. That's going to be Hill.
Wasn't that the matchup last time they faced in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Versus Grayson Rodriguez. And Sunday, don't forget, folks, Sunday is an 11:35 game. That game is
Roku.
A nationally televised game, yes, on Roku. That's going to be Rodon, who's having a kind of somewhat of a disappointing year, versus Kramer. Kramer needs to bounce back as well. Early Sunday morning game. Well, not too early. Sunday morning game.
The only one of those I don't think that has to bounce back is Grayson. the other ones, I mean, Cade's coming off of a rough start, one of the roughest, and now you got the Yankees coming in. And again, they did start swinging a little bit better. They need the kid Ben Rice has kind of come through for him.
Oh, he looks good.
Torres has had a couple of hits. I'm not trying to give them light at the end of the tunnel, but like they are playing better. They just need their pitching to hold up. Their bullpen, which we thought was going to be one of the better ones in the American League, it's been one of the worst.
Now, Luis Gil, how do you feel? You know, he was horrible against the Orioles the last time he faced them. Does he, like, maybe wants a little bit of revenge? What, an inning in the third, 7 earned runs, 2 walks, 1 strikeout? You know, he might feel like he wants a little bit of revenge.
Yeah, I might have to give him the Marco from Tropoia good luck. His last 4 starts, 3 of them have been awful. Mm-hmm. Like, just awful. His last start, it was really good. So I don't know who you're going to see. And then the other thing with Luis Gil is they haven't stated that he has an innings limit, but there have been reports, because he hasn't done this before, that he might be on an innings limit. Maybe he ends up moved to the bullpen. Maybe they shut him down for the year. So Yankees might be looking for more pitching than you think.
Yeah.
Why? Does anybody know why this game is such an odd time?
Which one?
The Sunday game.
It's a Roku game. That's what
Roku.
They do.
Okay.
Because it's called breakfast or baseball brunch or something like that.
Yes. So the reason they set this up, because you can sell it to them where you're the lone team playing. You have the lone game going on, and that's why they move it up, because most of the games on Sunday start at 1:30. So
they did it when it was who had it before on Sundays?
Peacock
did the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to an early game
last
year.
It's like most of the Apple games last year I was talking about felt like they were like 6 o'clock games and six. But that's a little bit different, I think, because a lot of people have Roku and don't even realize they have it.
It's like Amazon.
Yeah, because you bought the Roku and you're using it to check out all the apps.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Roku and watch the game. Sometimes when you come up right on the front screen,
you'll see it.
You'll see the baseball game. Just click on it.
I agree. More people have Roku than they know it. Remember when we first went to Amazon, every night we used to tell people, do you have Amazon Prime? Do you get things delivered to you? Yeah, then you have it there. It's the same thing. It comes with Prime. And people just didn't know it because they weren't using it. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy mentioned it. The Yankees might be in line for more pitching than they thought so. And also, Boston Red Sox are back in this race. So, has the Orioles slump made the trade market even more tough? Meaning, now, more people are going for the same things that they're going for. They may have to give up more than you wanted. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Taking sports to a whole new level. 105.7 The Fan.
Coming up on 6:30 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Thank
on
you, John.
Fantastic feel-good Friday. It's a new
day, but it all is this good? Is this good,
good Charlotte?
Right.
Joe with the pull.
That's right. You kept talking about it. Cameron Diaz, good Charlotte.
They're from Waldorf, man. I love me a Waldorf salad.
I interviewed them on O's Extra.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I want to say 22.
They ask about me?
Yeah. That's awesome. No, I don't think so. Let me think about it. No, they didn't. No. But the Orioles are struggling now. We know that. They lost, It's 8-11 in the last 19 games. They're just including a 5-game losing streak in that as well. So, Ed.
Yep.
With the Yankees only two back and now Boston climbing, winning 8 of the last 10, has that created a little desperation for the Birds going into the trade deadline?
It's definitely exerted some pressure on them. I think, you know, some of the things we've talked about, like the need for pitching, I think is more glaring now than ever because they're not hitting. If you can't, you know, even have a chance to win, you know, your offense is so much more pressure on. So I think, yeah, I think there's definitely more pressure on them now. But I think it was kind of there anyway. But this whole, the race is going to get, it's gotten tighter. It's gotten tight. It looked like, you know, the Orioles, Yankees, and everybody else, and now it's not the case.
So, well, yeah, I agree with what Ed's saying, that, yeah, it does make you a little bit more desperate, a little bit more aggressive. I mean, I'd like to...
Does that mean you trade off somebody that you didn't want to trade off now, Jeremy? That's my point, because you said...
This is my problem.
You said, right? There's no one out there that's worth these two spots. That's like saying no one's worth that contract.
Unless there's something random that... Do you want to give up two prospects for Garrett Crochet, not knowing whether or not he's going to help you the rest of this year?
No.
So that...
But,
okay,
will you?
I won't. Not for him. I'm sorry. I know you get him for a long period of time. Because some people are like, well, you get him and you put him in the bullpen and you can make him... Look at what you're giving up to put him in the bullpen just to try to stretch him out again next year. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me regarding that trade. The Tarik Skubal thing is interesting just because of you have him under control. You've seen that he's been... You would have arguably the one and two best pitchers in the American League with Corbin Burns and Skubal.
Right.
That's how good Skubal's been this year. And recently he's had a couple of hiccups, but like his bad starts aren't like other people's bad starts. It's like a Corbin Burns where somebody's like, man, Corbin pitched terrible. 6 innings, 3 earned runs? Yeah, okay. If he's great on that curve and you think he pitched terrible, then okay, I'll take that guy every single time. But Skubal to me is the only guy that's out there. Like the Blue Jays have nobody that I'm willing to give up, you know, something of like Max Scherzer. Mm-hmm. I said I would take Max Scherzer from the Rangers, but you're not going to have to give up two of your prospects to get him. You're still looking for starting pitching next year, though.
Max Scherzer from the Rangers, you suggested the Rangers may want to trade him. You think the Rangers believe that they're out of it, seven games back.
I think the Rangers have some viable pieces for teams that can't get the frontline pitching they want outside of Scherzer. The guy that's the most interesting to me and what you'd have to give up is Nathan Eovaldi, because he's clearly been a big-game pitcher.
Yes, he has.
I don't know that you have to give up as much as some of the other guys, but when you think of Texas, they got a ton of Andrew Haney. Would somebody want him? It's a lefty that strikes out, you know, even to fill out the rest of your rotation for the rest of the year.
And going back to Eovaldi, Eovaldi is a free agent after this year, so that means you're not really giving up a whole lot for him. And you talk about him being big game. He is big game, and he doesn't get the credit for it. I mean, his last season in the postseason, he pitched one game against the Rays. He went 6 2/3, giving up one earned run. He pitched one against the Baltimore Orioles. He went 7 innings, giving up one run. He had 2 appearances in the ALCS. He was 2-0, 3.65 ERA. And then in the World Series, he had 2 appearances. He was 1-0, 4.22 ERA. So in 10 series in the postseason, his ERA, he's 9-3 with a 3.05 earned run average. And he has 82 strikeouts and 72 2/3 innings.
See, and I'd rather, so what I would prefer is if you're going to give up one of those prospects or a package of other ones, that you call about Eovaldi or Scherzer, and then Kirby Yates is on that team too.
I never thought about Eovaldi. I love it. I love it. I do. But I love that move.
He gave the Orioles fits.
Yeah. And I'm just so.
If you look at his record against the O's over the. I've always hated facing him as a fan here.
Me too. That's why I love it.
Yeah, he's 8-2 against the Orioles.
The problem with this is that you start looking around the league and you wonder who's going to be in on the trade deadline. That's
why
sellers.
That's why I'm saying it's going to create some desperation.
It will.
You may not. You may have to give up more against Eovaldi for Eovaldi than you thought you did. Look at his last, down the stretch last year. He struggled a little bit down the stretch in the regular season, but he really got it together in the postseason.
All those teams that are in it, besides Jason Dominguez with the Yankees, I feel like our prospects are better than the ones that they have. And I'm not just talking about one of them. I'm talking about like all of them as a whole. Jackson Holliday was the number one prospect in baseball. Colton Cowser is here now. Kierstead is hitting, 360 since being back up here. And then you start looking at Kobe Mayo, Sam Basayo.
And hey, let me go back to this. He said, Jeremy, being he, that as a whole, our prospects are better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
If a team comes up and, what did you mention with the Yankees? Who do you mention?
Jason Dominguez.
Okay, Jason Dominguez. Let's say they offer the Rangers Jason Dominguez. In that case, if the Orioles want Eovaldi, they're gonna have to give him 2.
I don't want Eovaldi.
You can't go one. You can't go one for one with the. You're gonna. You may have to give up 2.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you give up somebody, you just don't want
more.
To.
Yeah. You're gonna have to give up. But I agree with what Jeremy said about having them. We have the most. They've got the most capital to trade. So it depends on who you're willing to give up, because you're not going to keep everybody.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work out. So if everybody listening, you're going to be sad if you're a fan of somebody, because they're going
to
go.
Having the most is the gift and the curse, because more is going to be asked of you.
And this is
I know what you have. Yes. You really want them, you got to give me that, or we're going to talk to the other team.
Don't you think this is what we've been dealing with? Is like, if I'm Elias, the hard part about this is I feel like he's just got to be honest and true to himself about what he's giving up, and is it worth it? Because if this is a team we expect to compete for years, I don't know you have to be brazen and all of a sudden give up way more than you want because you're competing against other teams.
Right.
But the team that I think makes the most sense for the Orioles is the Texas Rangers, and making some sort of swap, or starting to look at one of those Eric Fetty types, or, you know, and then you're filling a void, but you're not, I'm hoping you're not giving up as much as you think you'd have to. I know, but I'm just saying, you're going to need somebody else in there, and he's been
solid.
I'd rather
have Fetty Wap than Eric Fetty.
Hey.
Fetty Wap.
Yeah.
Seriously, man.
Didn't he have those Fetty snacks or whatever?
Yeah.
Delicious.
What is his contract situation? Let me see.
I think he's 2 years, because he came back over from Korea.
One more year next year.
Or Japan. I forget where he's
at. So that means we're stuck with him next year.
Yeah, but
that means they probably won't go out in free agency and look for one, because they got Eric Fetty.
It means the White Sox are going to ask for a little bit more for an average pitcher that's having a good year.
Yeah, that's what he is. His career ERA just under 5, 4.93. His ERA this year at 31, 2.99. Yeah.
And you know what they say about that in Italian class? And that's a no good.
Is that what they say?
Yes.
oh, Oh, Jeremy Kahn. I will say this, though. He has pitched better of late. Let me see the ERA, how it went down.
What it's been this year. He's been really good this year.
Yeah, like, but he's been better late. I mean, his ERA at the beginning of May was 3.46, essentially 3.5 runs, and now is at 2.99. So he's been better late because early on he had games giving up 4 earned runs, 5 earned runs. In the month of May, he had 3 games that he gave up 4 more earned runs in the start. All right, and then the month of June, he only had 1 game where he gave up 4 runs. So he got better as the season went on.
Yeah, but look, again, he's a solid guy, but I hate buying high on a guy that I don't think is, you know what I mean? Like, they're getting the most out of him, and it's great for them.
And I'm looking at the games he had, man. I mean, Seattle struggling offensively. Arizona struggling offensively. Detroit was struggling offensively. He gave up those runs against the Dodgers and the Cubs.
I think the only one that I'm really listening on one of those top prospects, unless it's a package deal, is Tarik Skubal, unless somebody else's name becomes available. As much as I want Nathan Eovaldi, and I think that will be a great fit here, I'm not giving up a top prospect or, you know, one of those big names that we've talked about for him.
I like Eovaldi a lot, though.
Now, if we had to say somebody was untouchable or as close to it as possible, who do you think that is on this team?
The current roster or the whole? Yeah.
Current, I'm talking about the current rookies, the guys that'll, you know, like.
Untouchable.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think, if you're saying we're going to protect one player and one player only.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think Kobe Mayo was more untouchable than Jackson Holliday.
I'm starting to think it's Masayo. Because he was only 19 years old. Adley's going to not be a catcher, I don't think, in 5 years. Masayo will be 24 years old.
I'm thinking Masayo is going to be the guy to get traded if you want a guy like Tarik Skubal. By the way, if Tarik Skubal was black, he'd be Tarik.
That's what I call him, Tarik. Yeah.
What?
Tarik.
Tarik, yeah. It would be Tarik.
You know, so it's funny when I was just waiting to see you guys would say, because I can clearly make a case for Kjærstedt and Jackson Holliday if I want that they're untouchable. But again, nobody's untouchable.
Kjærstedt, to me, I'm looking at the minor leagues.
Yeah, but he was just called up, so I'm putting him in that group with Kowser. Because nobody's talking about moving Kowser, and I'm not saying that's something I want to do.
That's why he may get moved.
But that's a little bit more intriguing with all the left-handed bats you have, and with the way Kjærstedt's playing now, I don't know that you're moving him. So.
I think Kjærstedt's untouchable.
Well, why didn't you say that when I asked?
Because I went to the minor leagues. I said current roster.
Oh,
minor leagues.
Why are you doing that, Ed?
I did the same thing, for the record. I thought maybe, you know, because Kjærstedt's here.
It's a number for HR.
By the way.
That's no good.
Skubal's not a free agent until 27. So
that's why you're going to have to give up what I think might be multiple prospects and maybe two of those guys we talked about.
And you know what? He's not a fluke because last year, he's 27 now, but last year, in 15 starts, the ERA was only 2.80.
No, it's not.
He's not a fluke.
Look at his progression as a player.
Yes, it gets progressive. First year, 5.63 in 7 starts. Second year, 4.34 in 29 starts. Then 3.52. He gets better every year. And the 7 starts in the first year are legit because that was 2020. So he was there all year. So, you know, it wasn't like he came up. He was there all year. 7 starts, 8 games. That's about right. You know, he's legit. 27 years old, that's normally when they start really peaking his pitchers. His whip leads the league at 0.90.
That is beautiful. Ain't nobody getting on base today. But, and again, if you made a move for Skubal, you would have the two best ERAs in the American League for starting pitchers with Corbin Burns and Skubal.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. There's one position with the Baltimore Ravens that you can almost guarantee defensively. Doesn't need any help. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, it's Commissioner's Baltimore.
Remember, when you opened up before, I can't remember what prompted you to say it, but some people just clearly have never had their ass kicked in their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd just discuss or talk about when the first time you realized you really got to be careful what you say to people. Mine came at a young age. It was just, but I mean it. I think a lot of people have not experienced that, and you can.
It's obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious. But I mean, and there's people I've talked to who surprised me have never, you know, been in a fight or have never, felt that.
So I think it's necessary.
I agree. I think it's probably kind of funny for people.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Commissioner's Baltimore on the Fan.
The Commish's Baltimore.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
Ed Norris covers whatever the f*** is on his big, bad mind.
Do you got your popcorn ready?
Sponsored by Rice, Murtha, and Pesaurus. Have you been injured in a car accident? Your official injury lawyers at Rice, Murtha, Pesaurus will fight for the compensation you deserve. Call the team at Rice, Murtha, Pesaurus at 410-RICE-LAW or visit 410ricelaw.com. Best advice, call Rice, Murtha, Pesaurus.
105.7 The Fan.
It's a combination of John Madden and Brooklyn.
Boom!
Boom. Bang!
John Madden, he's an April 10th birthday, too, that's why. I don't even realize I'm doing it, by the way.
I don't know half of what you said because I just got lost in the accent. And this guy knocked him down the steps.
He went down a flight of steps.
Why is that? Why is the New York thing you go you raise up on your sentence? Knocked him down the steps.
He And then he does turn into Batman with all the bang, splat,
the boom,
boom, ta-da.
And this guy.
I wish we could talk. We can't talk about that on air. That was such a good conversation about this topic.
Which guy? You know the guy. Which guy? The guy with the thing. Yeah, that guy. Come on.
Get the papers. Get the papers. We were talking earlier. Rob brought this up about people, you know, when you meet people who clearly have never been in a fight in their life, just because of the way they behave in adulthood. And it just made me think of, like, the times that I, you know, found that out real quick, you know, and it had. I have a bunch throughout my life where, you know, I got better because I just learned that you don't know. You don't know who's got friends. You don't know if it's a setup. But I'll just tell. My first one came when I was fairly young at a block party. Remember when we used to have block party? They closed the street. They'd have everybody come out with food and stuff. So we had them all the time.
I miss those in the basement parties.
I love block parties. It's summer and, you know, you go from one to another. I'm like young, like 11, 12. I think I'm a tough guy because, you know, you get a lot of fights from the time you're young. I end up in a verbal fight with this guy, a kid named George Ryan. George was one of those, first of all, he's older than me. He was much bigger. He's probably 15, 16. I'm like 12. And he's like basically just, you know, being disrespectful. He's just, I'm a little kid to him. Just moving on. I end up deciding, okay, I'm going to show him I'm not afraid. So I chuck him both hands in the chest.
Did you move back or did he move back?
He punched me in the face. It's like, he didn't even hesitate. He's like, bang! He just like, cold cocked me. I had an immediate egg on my face. Big, it swole up big, and it had a terrible black eye. It taught me a lesson, though. Be careful who you mess with, and only fight if you have to. And sometimes you can't avoid it. But I was like, really humbled and stunned. I was like, whoa. I'd never been hit that hard by somebody like who was like, you know, nearly a full grown man.
But after he hit you, what did you do? What was your reaction?
I just stopped.
Did you go home and tell?
No, I was ashamed. And I couldn't hide it. This was a weird reaction. I was too ashamed to even tell my parents what happened because I didn't want them to know I was fighting in the street. And then I had this big eye. I made up a story. I think I said I was playing football and I banged in somebody's head.
And your dad knew that was a lie.
Yeah.
100%. He knew it was a lie. You know why? Because he probably got into street fights.
Ed was like,
but that was a gang leader.
Yeah.
That's documented in books by Pete Hamill. He was a gang leader in the 50s.
Ed was like, I was having sex with my teacher, and her husband came home
that's the
and
real
hit
story.
Me with a rolling
that's
pin.
That's the real story. That's the real story.
No, that was
with the daycare director.
And then one of my favorite, though, is like guys who decide to be bullies, and you were talking about one off air, and I was, when I was in college, there was a bar near the university we hung out in, would go once in a while. But it was also a biker hangout. And a couple of our teammates were in the bar one night, and they got an argument in the bar. And they agreed to go outside with the guys they're arguing with, and then they end up getting jumped by everybody. So they got badly beaten by a good number of these guys. So they come back. We find out what happened. We decide we're going back next weekend with the entire brotherhood. The whole house goes. It was about 40 of us. And so we pile into cars. We go out there. And it's a huge place. I'm trying to think what it was the equivalent of here. I guess like one of our big outdoor bars that was here forever. So we go in this big place, and the same guys now who got jumped at it, and the bikers are there. So they go up, and they say, "You want to?" You know, they get into it again, and "You want to step outside?" And they say, "Yeah, we'll go." Yeah, they don't know we're all outside already. So these guys come out, and they think they're going to do the same thing to the, oh, you know, my first three friends. And next thing you know, there is literally, they were outnumbered like, you know, 3 or 4 to 1. We kicked the living crap out of these motorcycle gangsters. Kicked their asses. You keep in mind, this is a group of, you got 30 or 40 guys who are basically 19 to 22 who all work out. It's all football and lacrosse players. And they just got their asses kicked because, you know, you bunch of guys, you think you're a tough guy because you're wearing colors? Okay. Not everybody's the Hell's Angel, you know, like you're kind of like fake gangsters. And as soon as it was almost like the opposite scene of a Bronx Tale, where now you just can't leave.
Yeah.
Because when they saw what was happening, the bar locked their doors. They locked all the doors so they couldn't get back in.
Yeah.
And we just kicked the crap out of these guys.
Now, were these bad guys or did you beat up wild hogs?
They may have been the wild hogs posing as bad guys. That's what I think happened. No, they were jerks. They were just jerks. They really were. They were just jerks.
Jeremy, growing up, you ever think you'd get beat up by some lacrosse guys?
No.
No. Biff and Jody and...
One was a tight end on the team. He was not. He wasn't Biff. He was our tight end on the football team. And actually, lacrosse is what hurt him. He got his thigh bone broken in half. But
that's the hardest bone to break, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that was that. You guys have any experience like this?
I'll tell mine briefly. Like, since I played basketball in a lot of areas I didn't belong in, I learned real quick that you don't talk trash to people you don't know, mm-hmm. especially in those areas. And it wasn't something that initially happened to me. I did have a guy grab me, pin me up against the fence, and put his arm under my mm-hmm. neck. And luckily, at this basketball court, I knew everybody there, so they didn't let anything happen.
Right.
And it was just like, I was just busting his ass on the basketball court. He was talking trash. But this was a time I was down near Deep Creek, and a guy was running his mouth. And a dude had a steak knife in his waistband.
Mm. Mm.
And once everything happened, he punched this guy, knocked him out cold, and then he pulls this knife out because of the chirping that was going on. I'm like, what the hell has happened here?
Is it Deep Creek?
Yeah, down in near, what's that area right there? Right, I can't think of the name of it.
Come on, Western Maryland?
Yeah, I'm talking about Deep Creek Middle School.
Oh, Deep Creek Middle
School. My apologies. Yeah.
I'm thinking Garrett County.
No.
You're talking about Deep Creek Middle. No. All right. In Essex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's the area right there, because that's a little rougher area than what you would expect for Essex.
For me, I'll make it real quick, Middleborough area.
Yeah.
For me, it was, I'll make it real quick, this the time that I learned, don't run your mouth about people. I wasn't someone asked me a question about someone. I gave my comment about him. I was a kid. I was maybe 10, 11 years old. And the kid wasn't there. And the kid came back to me, and he asked me what I said about him. And I told him what I said. And as soon as I said it, his two cousins came around the corner. And that was the day I became a talk show host, because I talked my way out of that one. But the lesson was, you know what? Just, I probably wouldn't have been in that situation if I would have said it to him.
Yeah.
But because I didn't, it cost me more trouble than I wanted.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it. I don't.
But I know people listening, because there's always those guys who they, you know, like I said, Bowley's Court is tough.
Bowley's Court is tough. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. But you know, it's,
that's the thing.
People talk about beer muscles when you're drinking, but mm-hmm. also those guys that get around a group, and then they become tougher because there's a group of friends.
Yeah. That's the first one you punch.
That's the one that's chirping that starts the fight.
That's the one you get. O's Cubs didn't end up well. We'll talk about it at 7:15, even though we don't really want to. But on the other side, there's one position on the defense that I don't think the Ravens have to worry about at all. We'll tell you why up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.